The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
From the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and that light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came at his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you bring me a copy of the book Jesus? One of the things that always puzzled me as a child growing up in church, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 5 and was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 8 years of age and was called to the ministry. Actually, in fact, felt the call of God to come to America. Many of you have heard the testimony of how I used to preach to my teddy bears and then climb out of the window to go in the backyard to go to America, which is crazy because, yeah, I'm in Africa. We don't have bears. You'd think I'd be praying for my elephants and my giraffe and a lion. But no, bears. Africa has no bears. So God was getting me ready for the bears. Now, this book on Jesus will explain everything I'm going to share with you here today. This book has gone all over the world. Every member of the Congress received this. We took it to Washington, D.C., and it's a great soul-winning tool. So who would like this book? Let me bless you with that. All right. Now, so the big question was all about Jesus. What was he like? Because you can meet a lot of Christians, but that doesn't mean to say you're going to meet Jesus. Because everybody has their own variation. People have their understanding of who they think Jesus is. And you can see much of it is involving questions. Questions like, what would Jesus do? And if you ever get around a room with a bunch of Christians, what would Jesus do? People will get and start saying, I don't know, what would he do? Do you know what he would do? Who knows what he would do? Who knows what Jesus would do? But if you begin to read the Gospels, suddenly you find out what Jesus not only would do, you find out what he did do. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John cover the ministry of Jesus, which we know that his earthly ministry was 3.5 years. We know that the Bible says at the end of the Gospel of John, it said all these miracles did Jesus do and all the others that have written down. I do not even suppose the books of the world would contain what he did. Because can you imagine hanging around him? I mean, there were miracles in the morning, miracles in the noontime, miracles in the evening, midnight miracle. Because he would come walking on the ocean in the middle of the night. Plus, you never knew what he was going to do. You could think you knew what he was going to do. But like in the case of Lazarus, when Lazarus died, he didn't even show up. He didn't show up. He waited 4 days until Lazarus had been buried, even to the point that Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you come early, our brother wouldn't have died. And now he stinks. But I've learned something about Jesus. He don't care if you've been dead an hour or 4 days. It's just a different level of stink. Are you listening to me? But when Jesus comes and gets in the middle of that which is dead, it will come back to life again. Can you say amen? Everything about his life was supernatural. His birth, born of a virgin. Now, one professor just made the statement, And he was trying to include Mary into the Me Too movement, that Mary did not consent to the fact of having Jesus born of her. That's a total lie, because an angel appeared to her. She could have turned him down. But she said to him, "Be it unto me according to your word." So Mary, she was a virgin, and an angel appeared to her and said, "That which is born of you will be the Son of God." And she did not disagree, she agreed. You know that? You have to agree to what God wants to do in your life. God will never force it on you. You can push him away. One thing I've learned about the Lord, he will never force his will on you. He has given you a free will, and your free will, you can decide or you can decide not to. You can decide to obey or you can decide to disobey. The choice is totally yours. His birth was supernatural. What happened 2,000 years ago was supernatural. His whole life was supernatural. His earthly ministry was supernatural. From the very first miracle, when he turned water into wine. And when you think about that, nobody was healed, nobody was delivered, nobody was set free, nobody was even saved. It was just a wedding. And the Bible says he did it to show his goodness.
Yes.
In other words, he just wanted to tell people how good he was. Because he's good. One thing you find out about Jesus is that he's good.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yes.
His death was supernatural, because when he died, not only did he die for the sin of the world, but he took upon himself all the sickness and disease and all the torment and everything that you and I would face. He was pure. He was sinless. He was 100% God, 100% man. The Bible calls him the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And he came, humbled himself, took on human flesh, lived for 30 years in preparation for 3.5 years of earthly ministry, did perform no miracle until he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. God spoke out of heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, yea, he him." From that moment of time, Jesus went about healing the sick, cleansing the leper, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And of course, the end of the Gospel of John said, all these miracles did he do, and all the others. When I get to heaven, I'm going to pull the virtual reality tapes of all the others, and I'm going to watch them. Somebody said, "You won't need to, you'll know already." I don't care. I want to watch them. I'm going to take 3.5 years of earthly time and watch everything. In actual fact, I'm going to wind back to when he was first born, and I want to watch him growing up. I want to see what happened the first 30 years, because we don't even have a record of that. We know that as a young boy, he was in the temple where they couldn't find him. And they said, where is he? They finally found him. He said, "Didn't you know I was about my father's business?" So I just want to, for my own personal, because I'm an investigator and I question everything, I want to take about 33.5 earthly years and just play everything. And go, "I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it." That's just me. His resurrection. Up from the grave he arose. The death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. He come up out of the grave, having paid the price for the sin of the world. We know that when he cried, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was torn in two. The Holy Spirit came out of an earthly tabernacle, never again to live therein, but to come and live in your heart and my heart. And so suddenly the tabernacle of God is with man. That's what Emmanuel, God with us, means. He comes to live in you. He comes to make his home in you. He wants to live big on the inside of you. He wants to come and touch through your hands. He wants to walk in your feet. He wants to speak through your mouth. He wants it to where your very shadow would bring about a transformation in your house, in your neighborhood, wherever you go. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then his ascension, the way that he left the earth, and a cloud came and received him, and an angel said, "This same Jesus, as you see him go, he's coming again." And we know that he's coming in clouds of great glory. So his life, sinless, even though the Bible says he was tempted in everything, even as we are, but yet without sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have shared feelings with our weaknesses and our infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every aspect or respect as we are, yet without sinning. Which, that's the difference between Jesus and us. How many realize that you're not Jesus? Who wants to be more like him? How many realize that we are a work in progress? How many would say with the uplift of the hand, Pastor, I am under construction? So that's why I have a lot of scaffolding, because God's not finished with me. I am under construction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One time I was complaining to the Lord. I said, it's really not fair. I said, it's not fair. You come down here. You know, you have 3.5 years of earthly ministry. You prepare 30 years for it. And then you don't have a wife. You don't have kids. You walk on water. And then you take off. And I'm still down here, plugging away. I said, God, come on. I got a wife. I got kids. I got grandkids. I mean, come on. Seriously, cut me some slack. How many have ever had some of those thoughts? But then he said, that's why I sent the Holy Spirit to help you so that you can occupy till I come, so that you can live a victorious life. I didn't tell you to live that life by yourself. I didn't tell you to do it in your own power and your own ability. In our own power and ability, we cannot do it. But in his power and in his ability, you can overcome everything that the enemy will throw in your path. Can you say amen? So, 3.5 years of earthly ministry. 70% of that ministry was healing the sick and casting out devils, which is very important that we continue the ministry of Jesus today. That's why in Mark's gospel, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We are to go and pray for the sick. We are to get people set free from those that are bound, that are oppressed of the enemy. There's more people bound in America today than ever before. I heard the statistic, they said over 100 million Americans are suffering from severe depression. And people are being drugged out, doped out, spaced out, and it's getting worse and worse. Only Jesus can set the captives free. And I'm here to announce to you that once he sets you free, that you have a divine obligation to be used of God to go and set everybody free. It's not your power, it's his power. It's not your ability, it's his ability. It's not your might, it's his might. So his death at Calvary was for the sin of the world. His resurrection, Jesus was raised from the dead. He stripped Satan of the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he has given that key to us. He told even Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He not only gave him the keys, but he gave us his name. That when we use that name, that everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth has to come to the attention of that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, what was he really like? Some people think that Jesus was sad because they met a priest or they met a father or they met a reverend who was sad. How are you, Reverend? All right. Let us pray. Dear God. So people think that's how Jesus was. Some people think Jesus walked around barefoot with a lamb on his arm, speaking Elizabethan English. For yea, verily, verily, I say unto thee. But he didn't speak Elizabethan English. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God in everything that he said and did. He said, I don't do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, I and my Father are one. If you see me, you've seen the Father. The Bible says in John 3:34, because he spoke the words of God, God gave him the Spirit without measure. Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you is spirit and is life. In John 8:28, Jesus said to them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, But as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus said, I don't do anything but that I first see my Father do it. So when you see Jesus on the earth, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are seeing the express will of the Father manifest through Jesus. Because Jesus came to show us the Father. That's why it's the difference between the old and the new. Even Job, if you read Job, it's one of the oldest books of the Bible. And Job said, there's no daysman betwixt us. There's no umpire. He didn't even have a Bible. He didn't understand. When God came and revealed himself to Job, if you go read, there's a lot of ramblings in the book of Job, and his three friends, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, a short guy, and Zophar, the Naamathite, they were rambling on. Elihu was the only one that was actually speaking some sense. But when God showed up at Job's house in a whirlwind, somebody said, what's a whirlwind? It's a car God drives when he's mad. And God showed up, and Job was on his face, and God said to Job, stand up. Gird up your loins like a man. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Do you have a voice? Can you thunder like me? And God began to reveal himself to Job. You know what Job did? Job said, I'm going to put my hand to my mouth. I've spoken things I don't even know what I'm talking about. Things too marvelous for me, because he said this to God. This is probably the most powerful verse in the whole of the book of Job. He said, I had heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee. This is a totally different thing. And that's the problem in America. Many people have heard about God, but they've never seen him. But when you see him, when you see Jesus as he really is, something will happen in your life. You won't be able to be quiet. It will explode on the inside of you. That's the power of the gospel. You can't be quiet. You got to shout it from the mountaintops till the whole world knows how awesome he is, how wonderful he is. This is not some emotional thing that you stir yourself up in your head. It's like the prophet of old said, it's like a fire shut up in your bones. Well, you got to go tell somebody. I got to go tell somebody. I got to tell them about Jesus. I got to tell the world about him. I got to tell them how awesome he is, how much he loves them. He loves you. He died for you. He forgives you. Today, he sets you free. Today, he comes. He sets you free. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Now, 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 today, today, today. Somebody said, calm down. I can't. Because something happens when you read the word, when you read the gospels, the Holy Spirit brings it alive, and Jesus comes off the pages of the gospel and begins to walk up and down in your heart. And he's not just someone that lived 2,000 years ago, but he's alive. And people will look at you and they say, I see Jesus in your eyes. I hear Jesus in your voice. I feel Jesus in your touch. There's something different about you. There's something different about you. I've met many religious people, but there's something different about you. There's a fire in your eyes. Somebody said, what's that? Go read the book of Revelation. He has eyes as flames of fire. Hallelujah. Now, obviously we want to tell the world that he died for them. He forgives them. He loves them. But we'll have to tell them that he's coming soon. Coming very soon. How many believe we're closer now to the coming of the Lord than ever before? How many realize that? I know there's some people that heard he was coming. They said, no, he's not coming. But he is. And for the fact of the matter that some of you could breathe out your last breath today, and then I guess he would have come for you. You know, so it's not about 40 years from now. We don't know how long our life is here on the earth. The Bible even says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a city, we'll live there for a year, we'll sell and buy and get gain. It says, don't you know what your life is? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But that we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. which I grew up in old time Pentecost. They would always say, the Lord willing, I'll see you next week. You know, it was always the Lord willing. Some say, well, who cares what God wills? No, it really, the Lord willing. People invite me to come to a country, go preach. I said, in the plan of the Lord, we will come. No, no, you just make decision. I said, I can't. I said, in the plan of the Lord, we'll come. We'll come in His timing. We'll come when He releases us to go. We can't just do what we want to do. Can you say amen? So, Jesus did what His Father told Him to do, not what the people thought He should do or that He must do. John 14 and verse 10, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the work. John 3 and 34, I already quoted the scripture. For since He whom God sent speaks the words of God, proclaims God's own message, God does not give Him His Spirit sparingly or by measure, but boundless is the gift God makes of His Spirit. Jesus was radical. Jesus was not politically correct. Jesus was not PC. The fact of the matter that if Jesus was here in the earth today, He would be kicked out of 98% of the churches. They would run Him out. I'm telling you, you listen to me. If Jesus Himself was here today, He would not be accepted by the religious circles that are in the earth today. They would do whatever they could to shut Him up and to crucify Him one more time. Because when Jesus comes in the door, religion is ripped to shreds. When Jesus comes to the door, He blows it to smithereens. When Jesus comes, He sets the captives free. He was not religious. He didn't fit into the religious crowd. John 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, here's the thing, and I've told you this many times, but I'm going to say it again. Not only did he come to save you, which is the most important thing, but he came to fill you. He couldn't fill you till he saved you. Are you with me? Because the purpose of Jesus coming to Calvary to pay the price for the sin of the world was so that he could wash you clean, set you free, and then fill you with his Holy Spirit. So if you just get saved, you only got half of what he came to do. He came to save you, and then he came to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. That fire, that's firepower. That fire will carry you through every obstacle that you'll ever face, through every circumstance, through every live hell, through every temptation, through everything that the devil will throw in your path. It's the fire of God that will sustain you. It's the fire of God that will cause you to do what God's called you to do. Without the fire of God, you will not be able to accomplish what God's purpose is for your life. But I'm here to tell you that he gives this power, this fire power, to everyone. He gives it to you freely. You just have to come and you have to believe. And if you believe, you shall receive this comforter, the Holy Spirit. What a Christmas gift. If you don't know Jesus today, you can receive him. That'll be your greatest Christmas gift. But I've got one more. That'll be the angel on top of the tree. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, your whole life will change forever. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I probably wouldn't be here today. I'd be in a mental institution in a padded cell, in a straitjacket, going, ministry, 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 ministry. But thank God for the comforter, the paraclete, the one called alongside to help, the teacher, the guide, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby. He knows everything. God, the Holy Ghost, sent by Jesus, the head of the church. So I taught to tell the whole world, he loves you, he wants to save you, but then he wants to fill you. 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 Have you ever pumped gas at a gas station? Me, I can't just pump. I have to wait till it comes out of the thing. You know what I mean? I've got to make sure that it's full. I rock the car just to make sure I get all the air bubbles out. Then petrol's coming out. Okay, it's full. You don't because you drive a Tesla, so you don't fill that thing. But I mean, come on. He wants to fill you to overflowing. Fill you to overflowing. So the comforter allows Jesus to live on the inside of us and to have expression through us in the earth, which is going to be different in each person. It's going to be totally different in each person. God doesn't make carbon copies. He makes originals. Are you with me? Somebody said, well, how will I be an original? By the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will unlock all the gifts, the talents, the graces, yes, things that you have that are brilliant that nobody else has. His people here sitting in this room with creativity that are beyond imagination. People sitting here with gifts and talents that will affect many people's lives. But here's what happens. Church has become something that's just over there, and you just kind of do it if you have time. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we try to do everything in our own strength. But yet, he wants to come and put his church in you by the Holy Spirit. So when you wake up in the morning, you're being led by him. He's guiding you. He's showing you what to do. He's saying, no, don't do that. No, don't sign that contract. No, no, don't go over there. No, don't get involved with those people. No, no, I'm going to protect you over here. I'm going to help you with this over here. I'll help you overcome that problem that you're facing right now, that thing of the flesh that has been hindering you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get free of your temper. I'm going to help you get over that addiction, that thing that's been plaguing you. I'm going to help you get free of that. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, so that you don't need to do it yourself. Because what do people want today? They want life coaches. They want somebody who's educated, who can help them, who can show them what to do. Jesus sent the very best. He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's not a dove. He's not a bird. He's God, the Holy Ghost. He come, and again, I must just tell you, he's not a tongue even. Somebody said, well, I speak in tongues. That's just the language of the Spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost. Hello. You can learn Italian. You can eat pizza and drink a cappuccino and have never been to Italy. You can have the language of the Spirit and don't know the Holy Ghost. So somebody said, well, I operate in the gifts of the Spirit. That's just the gifts of the Spirit. You don't even know the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the person, the third person of the Godhead. And this is not me adding to the gospel. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus is, not me. Jesus is. John the Baptist said, I'm a Baptist. He said, I baptize with water, but there's coming one after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He was talking about Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with you that the fire of God wouldn't cure today in your life. I know there's people walking around and some people sitting on the toilet right now. But let me tell you. I know you can hear me in there because we've got it piped into the restroom. Some people live in the toilet. Let me tell you, their whole life is a toilet. It's time to go quickly and come out of the toilet. Let God deliver you out of that stuff the devil has you in. Now everybody gets nervous and they don't want to make a run for it. Please, we don't want accidents in the building. Utilize the facilities. But don't live there. Stop playing with the soap dispenser. The comforter allows Jesus to live inside us and have expression through us in the earth. Christian means little Christ, little anointed one. People say, who do you think you are? Tell them, I don't think I'm anything. But I do know this one thing, that he came and made it his home on the inside of me. And religion always says, well, you think you're something, don't you? Even family members. What, you leave, you go to Bible school, now you come back here. You like the Pope? You think you're the Pope? Come on, how many Bible students already heard that before? Wave your hand at me. Oh, yeah. Well, you think you're the Pope? You think you're Mother Teresa? You go to RBI, and then you come back home over Christmas. Go walk on the swimming pool. I know who you are, child. You come back here talking faith. You come back here talking we can shake whole towns, whole cities. What are they teaching you down at that crazy place down there? Because they tried to get you not to come here because they Googled already and said, don't go down there. That preacher's crazy. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Don't go down there. They got that joy stuff. That joy. Who do you think you are? You just smile and say, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. The only Jesus the world will ever see will be you. Whether you realize it or not, you're the only Jesus they'll ever see. Somebody said, well, if that's the case, God has his work cut out. Who ever remembers seeing a movie called The Dream Team? I think it was like a motley crew of people, like the total unexpected people, you know. One of the things I learned, let me wrap this up with this, when I was at high school, and I have a school friend, actually got him led to the Lord there, didn't lead him to the Lord by showing him how great God was. I played tapes of demons talking when they were casting devils out and scared the hell out of him, and he got saved, you know. Sorry, Liz, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I didn't have the gospel script in those days, so I used every method to get people saved. You know? I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Yeah. But so when we were in school, it was probably about, oh, I don't know the full number, but our school was divided into two groups. He was in the other group. I was in the other one. And in my second final year, I became the head of half of the school in sports, you know, all the activities and athletics and cricket and rugby and tennis and swimming and all of the sports. And their team, their side, had all the stars. Our team didn't. But what I did, and I really prayed about, the Lord told me what to do. I made a list of everybody that was under my care, from the under 9s, the under 11s, the 13s, the 14s, whatever age group. And I spent my lunch breaks going around finding all of them and saying, I'm going to meet with you all. And then I would pick somebody in the country and a top runner and say, you are him. You are him. They go, me, I'm him. Yeah, the kid didn't even run, but I made him run. This kid didn't even do high jump, but I made them do high jump. And so I spent months mobilizing them. And you know what? We won everything that year except hockey. And we won the athletic meet by 1.5 points, which made the principal, was his son was part of the thing he was part of. The principal was like furious because on paper, we had nobody. But we picked up third place. You know, they might got first, we got second, third. You know, and all I did was by taking a group of people that in the natural did have nothing. They had nothing. And I convinced these kids that they were the greatest sports people ever to walk the face of God's green earth. That those children actually thought that they were that person. And they excelled and we won, you know. And for some reason, I wasn't into field hockey because it was really a girls' sport. So I wasn't that interested in field hockey, you know. Sorry about that. But I should have probably focused on that so we could have at least won that as well. But so what am I trying to tell you? There's a lot of people that you know that in the natural you think they'll never do anything. But when the Holy Spirit comes along and tells you, he'll say, you can do it. You can do it. So suddenly what you begin to find is people that you would think, well, they'll never, not that person. They'll never amount to anything. Never, not in 100 million years, they'll never do it. But watch, the moment the Holy Spirit comes and connects with them, they'll begin to do things that will shock even the professionals, even the people that have all the wherewithal and all of the abilities. Because suddenly these individuals, that don't have any ability step into His ability. That's why the Bible says, not many high, not many mighty are chosen. God takes the weak things of the world to confound the wise. The only way that people can see Jesus is through your eyes. Hear Jesus is through your voice. Feel Jesus is through your touch. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to do work in you and you obey Him by walking in His love towards others and doing the works of Jesus, then Jesus will come and live big on the inside of you. And your life will impact many people. Even a life that is broken, bruised, tattered, and torn. Let me close with this. There are people today, this church has been going 22 years. There are people today that are in different parts of the world, and God's using them in a profound way, that if you saw the condition that they came here to the church, you would have pulled me aside and said, it's impossible. Those people will amount to nothing. And I'm here to tell you, nothing is impossible with God. Don't write yourself off, and don't write anybody you know off. Just realize when Jesus comes, everything changes. And here's one thing I'm going to ask all of you to pray. Say, Lord, let me see people the way you see them. Let me not look at people and look at their failings and their flaws and their faults and say, oh yeah, well that, because if I do that, then I'm going to start picking on myself, on my failings and my flaws. Are you with me? Who has many? So what do you do when you pick on them? You pick on yourself. And what do you do when you do that? You actually neutralize yourself. And that's why there are many people in the church sitting doing nothing, because they've neutralized themselves. I've had people come to me and say, that person will never do anything. I said, oh, you're looking at them now, but you're not seeing them the way they're going to be when they're finished. Because God is not finished with them yet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it's all because of one person. And His name is?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads, please, right across this room. Bow your heads. Please, nobody moving around just for a few minutes. Please, very important. There are only people moving in the ushers. I want to give an invitation right now to you in this building and those in overflows. If you've come on this property today and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you walked in here today, you've never given your life to Jesus. Friend, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath their flood, lose all their guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken off of your life. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you leave another way. Today, Jesus stands with the arms right open. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Today, He calls you. Today, you can exchange your life for His. This is called the great gift exchange. Somebody said, He's going to end up losing if you see what I have. No, He loves you. And He says, come, come. Come, come unto me, come unto me. The Bible says, no man can come to me except the Spirit draw him. The Bible says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Today, it's about surrender to say, Lord, here I am. I give you my life. Maybe you've come into this place, you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost your peace. You lost your joy. You lost your first love. And today you say, I want to come back. I want to come back to that place of ecstatic joy. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. Today, he said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He says, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you just surrender to him today? Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And so now friends and family remind you of it. They remind you of when it happened. And now the devil uses against you as guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened. But I want you to know that God is a God of a new beginning. And God is a God of a fresh start today. The greatest Christmas gift you can receive today is receiving Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And being forgiven of your sin. And having removed all guilt and all shame from your life. Maybe it's not hidden or outward. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along and then suddenly out of the blue, this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, that knocked the wind out of your sails, where you say, I don't even think I can go on another day. But Jesus says, come to me. Surrender to me today. He loves you. He loves you. Will you surrender to him? And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question, but you're not sure of your salvation. There's a constant battle between your head and your heart. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to know that I know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm a child of God. If this is you, if you fit in any one of these three categories, in the main auditorium and in the overflows, if this is you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, without any hesitation whatsoever, quickly, put your hand up right now and say, pray for me. All across the building, God bless you, God bless you. Hands are going up. Outside, inside, quickly, hands are going up. All across this place, all across, young and old, young and old, young and old, today is your day. I want everyone with your hand in the air to quickly stand. Just stand to your feet. Don't wait on anybody else. Just stand. Just stand. All across the place. Outside. Stand. 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 Today. Today. Today is your day. Today is your day of freedom. Today. Today is your day of liberty. Not another day goes by. Today is your day of transformation. If you know you should be standing, God's speaking to you right now. Quickly stand with them and say, that's going to be me. I want to be included in the prayer that you're going to pray. Quickly stand. All those others that need to stand, quickly go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. We're going to open the doors so that those standing outside can come in. All of you that are standing right now, if you by yourself, bring your personal belongings and come. And come fill up the altar area. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Come. Come now. Come from the outside. Come in. Come. All those that are standing, come, 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 come. Come now. Come on, Tampa. Come on, Tampa, Florida. Come on, Tampa, Florida. Come on, Tampa, Florida. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. Today is your day of joy. Today is your day of restoration. Today he comes. Today he takes out the stony heart, puts in a heart of flesh. Bring them in, ushers. Come on. Don't make me be an usher. Come on. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. I have decided to follow Jesus. Just come in a little closer, come in a little closer, come in a little closer. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. the cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We have no other choice. I'm going to bring all of you up the aisle. I'm going to bring you on the platform behind me. Come. Come up here. Come. I want to get everybody around me. Come. 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 Come in. Put them all around me. Come on. Pack them in. Pack them in. Pack them in. Now you know why we need to build a different place. No turning back. Just come right up on the platform. Come. Come on right on the platform. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. Turning back. We're just going to have to stuff them down there. Just keep them on there. There's not really no room here. I won't even have place to stand here shortly. I want everybody that's standing here to look at me if you can. The first thing I want you to know, I want you to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, is how much he loves you. And you might say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done and you don't know where I've been. No, I don't. But really, that's none of my business, because I know what he's done and where he's been. And what he's done and where he's been cancels out what you've done and where you've been. If you believe today, you cannot earn this. You cannot buy this. You can't go out and better yourself and then come back in a better position to receive this. The only way for you to get it, you have to humble yourself. And that's when we realize I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I've tried to do it myself, but I keep falling. But today I'm going to surrender my life to him. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. I'm going to say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you the rest of my life. You can take me as is. And do something with me. And if you mean business with God today, I promise you, God means business with you today. You are the reason why I came as a missionary to America. Why my wife and I came 31 years ago and landed with $300. We came because of you. I know when people, you don't have to wave at yourself anymore. It's good that you're here. We're glad you're here, but you don't need to wave at yourself. But let me just say this to you. You're the reason why we came. A lot of people see missions as Mexico or Guatemala or Africa. I came here to America as a missionary. You're the reason why we came. And I'd rather be here than any other place on the face of the earth right now. So what we're going to do, we're going to pray one prayer. One prayer fits all. It's like you go, one size fits all. We're going to pray one prayer. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. I just want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. And then pray this out loud. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith, in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now just lift both hands and thank Him right now. Just thank Him personally. Just thank Him personally. Just thank Him personally. Just thank Him personally. Just thank Him. Just tell Him, thank you. Thank you. Now, Father, I pray that you would come and you would seal them now. Seal them by your blood and by your Holy Spirit. That on that day when we stand before you, let not one of these be missing on the other side. Not one. Tonight, today, we put them in the hands of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will carry you. Teach them. Show them your ways. Make your word real to them. Jesus becomes so real to them, and use them to impact the city of Tampa and regions beyond, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said.
Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.